This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with me, Melissa Idris, also Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani. It's now 7:35 a.m. on Thursday, the 9th of June. Ibrahim, what news do we have lined up for the next half an hour?
So we got Indonesia cutting growth rate. We got Singapore saying that 1MDB has got nothing to do with them. And British American Tobacco has moved away from PJ.
Okay. So it's basically all doom and gloom.
Well, you know what? To add to that, the World Bank has slashed its global growth forecast for 2016. They are now expecting the world economy to grow 2.4%, whereas back in January, they had estimated 2.9%. And they say that this is due to stubbornly low commodity prices, sluggish demand in advanced economies, as well as weak trade and diminishing capital flow. So you're right, Julian. It's all sunshine and rainbows this morning, isn't it?
It's not stuff we don't know already.
Yeah,
but of course, which countries would be impacted more, right? And I think commodity export countries could be more severely impacted than other countries. This is because emerging market economies and countries, they have struggled to adapt lower prices for oil, for metals and other commodities. And according to the research house called Global Economic Prospects, they say that these emerging market nations, like Malaysia, for instance, account for half of the downward revision. So countries like emerging markets would contribute lower. That 2.9% that you speak of in January is now 2.4%.
I don't know. I want to yawn when I read this kind of story because there is no real concrete policy to come and address this kind of thing. For example, I think the very big question of whether growth is now the kind of main policy the government should focus on, because governments actually do have a lot of money, and I'm saying this loosely. I think government in general have a lot of money. They just need to look for the right places to put those kind of money into. Education, innovation, which in the short term may not result in growth, but will certainly result in employment.
Well, for the sake of argument, let's look at the short term then. You know, I'm surprised by this because for the past week or so now, I've been reading reports that have a positive outlook in the second half of the year, saying, you know, things will pick up. And I'm surprised that the World Bank is taking, well, perhaps the surprise is a very loose word to use, but, you know, I guess it's contrary to what the World Bank is saying. So these kind of mixed messages, I guess, doesn't really help me. All the information that I'm getting seem to be fighting for attention. One saying that it's going to be gloomy, the other saying that, look, it's going to get better as we head towards the end of the year.
You know, so the Financial Daily has an exclusive on that, Melissa, regarding the second half growth or non-growth this year. The Financial Daily has cited RHB chief economist Lim Chee Seng, who has been on the Breakfast Grill with us very recently. He argues that while policymakers are hopeful for exports to rebound in the second half this year, this is not assured, and there would be a downgrade risk to the country's economic growth. Chee Seng also argues that although Malaysia has grown less dependent on exports over time, it still accounts for more than 2/3 of GDP in real terms. And I think this is because of these uncertainties and things that are not built on stone. You know, you have that downward spiral going on.
But coming back to your point, Julian, about how governments have money and what are they doing with them, in my conversation with Benley Brand this morning, you know, we were talking about the Reserve Bank of Australia and Janet Yellen's comments in the Federal Reserve in the US, and it seems to be all about central bank action. Where are the governments in this? Where is the fiscal spending? Right, so that can do a lot to help prop up the global economy, but we're not seeing it, are we?
You know, some fiscal spending are being done. We have news that South Korea is going to create about $10 billion worth of fund for aid restructuring. This is sort of like a bailout for their shipping industry. And, you know, government is going to work in tandem to ensure fiscal soundness at the banks. So, you know, in my own words, I think government is using various ways to do various things, but I'm not too sure whether it's going to be effective.
Yeah, I think that you have to really think of clever ways to spend your money. I think if you just simply print money and give them away to very decrepit industries and zombie companies, then that kind of fiscal spending wouldn't work. I think more and more we need to analyze and examine whether giving money to people to spend on things that matter, like healthcare, education, and so on, would be better than just giving decrepit companies a lifeline, I feel.
Yeah. I'm too scared to ask what the decrepit companies are, but you know, I think we all kind of know what the decrepit companies are.
One, Punter, he's now putting his hat in the line. It's called FXTM. They said that there could be a likelihood that Bank Negara will unleash further accommodative policies to support monetary growth. And this is to retain that stability with regard to IMF and World Bank cutting global economic growth. And I think this is the answer to your question, Melissa, on monetary spending and monetary policy. And we might see some growth cuts in Malaysia.
7:40 right now, and similar to the World Bank's move, the Indonesian government is now set to revise down this year's economic target growth for the country amid slowing domestic consumption. There are also signs that a shortfall in government tax revenue will sap public spending.
You know, this is part of that Jokowi's Big Bang approach, right? I mean, the Jakarta Post has that statement coming forward that the government has released 12 economic packages, and the 13th economic package is going to be released soon, and it's going to be focusing on the residential properties for low-income families. But because of these things, it's still not propping up that growth that the economy that Indonesia wants. In fact, Indonesia's economic growth last year was about 4.7% to 5%. They might not even meet this target this year. So I guess you're right, Julian. It might be difficult for us to chase after growth. It might be more prudent for governments like Indonesia to focus on the wellness of the economy.
I have a feeling I'm not really worried about Indonesia, though, because I think the long-term prospects are pretty good. They're just beginning to open up, and they have this new political, what seems like a new political era in the form of Jokowi, who's more open and who's kind of smart and clever about how to manage things, right? Both the economy and the country's resources well and cleverly. So I think over the long term, not only Jokowi and the people of Indonesia, but investors, foreign investors, direct investors, long-term investors are pinning a lot of hope that this is the place to do business along with countries like the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I think those would be some of the growth areas. I mean, Nomura came out with a report yesterday putting their picks on a few countries, including Malaysia, surprisingly one of those countries. So it's not all doom and gloom. Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines are in that category of buy for the long term, but excluding Singapore and Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah, speaking about Thailand, right? I mean, they have a way of doing things. And, you know, the Thai government, or the Thai central bank, says that the Thai rate cuts is not needed. But the IMF actually urges the Thai bank to actually cut their rates. And their argument by the IMF is saying that inflation rate will probably undershoot target, and the economy forecast is likely to expand 3% this year and maybe 3.2% next year. So I guess this is a story where, you know, foreign intervention in how you do things in country might affect you know, diplomatic ties, because Thailand has a way of doing things, and the IMF is saying that the way you're doing things is not right.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.